Morning. Today's daf and zochim is Chav Gimel. We're in Chav Beis Amud Beis. We're towards the top of the Amud. We're going to be discussing two topics today, one quickly and one not so quickly. The first topic we're going to be discussing quickly is Arel. The Mishnah tells us that if a Kohen Arel, if a non-circumcised Kohen does the Avoda is Mechulelas. I can count on this almost every single time. Rashi, in the Mishnah, as Rashi states this very clearly, if you take a look all the way back in the Mishnah, Tes Vav Amud Beis. So Rashi writes that when we say Arel, we mean Kohen Shemesuach of Machos Mila. This Kohen who did not receive a bris milah did so for no bad reason. In fact, well, first of all, he didn't make any decisions. This was his parents' decision. But his parents did the right thing. Parents, the Rachmanis, the parents had a first child, second child who died through the milah. So there were clotting issues in the family genetics. So with so the first and second child died. And so therefore the halacha is very clear. You don't give a bris milah to the third child. You still have children, but the third child and onward is not going to have a bris milah. So it's onus rachmana patre. There's no guilt whatsoever. There's no aver whatsoever for not getting a bris milah. But in other words, the reality is that the child does not have a bris milah. And this will disqualify him from doing the avoda. And not only can he not do the avoda, the avoda that he does is going to be psula. Okay, that's Rashi back in the Mishnah. If you want more in this discussion, a little bit more in this discussion, you can see Tosfos over here in our Amud. Tosfos over here, Arel. So he quotes Rabbeinu Shlomo. That's Rashi, by the way. It's unusual. It's unusual. I agree. It's unusual he describes Rashi in that way. So my first Rabbeinu Shlomo, b'chomakum shemesuach of machmas milah. So b'chomakum, right? I'm in agreement. Not that he needs my agreement, but it's every place that we talk about in Arel. So Rashi consistently says mesumach machmas milah. Rabbeinu Tam first mumar la'arelos v'karile libo l'shamayim lefishen osa ella midagas tzar hamilah v'reisha Arel perashti. And so he quotes Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam disagrees. He says no. In other words, we're not talking about somebody who is an ones, but we're talking about somebody who is a mumar. In other words, if we're talking about somebody who's a mummer, so then there's no discussion to be had. So over here is a limited mummer. Mummer in that he doesn't want the pain of a bris milah. He believes in bris milah. It's an important thing. You ask him, should you get a bris milah? He says, of course, but I'm not going to do it, though. It's too painful. Okay, so, right. So he's not...
Parents, no?
Huh?
I mean,
from Rabbeinu Tam?
Baby. I mean, when he grows up.
When he grows up. In other words, when he grows up. Okay, it's a fair question. I don't know, but anyway, but Rabbeinu Tam disagrees with Rashi, and again, I don't want to belabor the point now because it's not our topic for today, and I know what's coming up on the horizon. But Rabbeinu Tam is going to say basically to Rashi, no, your case is not a good case. That's an onus. That's onus rechmana patre. Just on one other piece of food for thought in terms of this discussion of an arel is the achronim already deal with this. Is that if a Kohen's an Arel, doesn't that by definition make him a Bamum? So now could or couldn't be. In other words, isn't there at least a discussion to be had about him having a physical blemish and that he has an Arel and he's not Gemalt, he doesn't have a Bris Milah? Okay, so that's another consideration. Anyway, let's go back to our Gemara. Let's just quickly go through the Gemara. I say quickly, we went through this before. We've seen this Gemara before. So Arel Minalan Amar of Chisto Davar Zem Mitaros Moshe Rabbeinu Lamanu Midivrei Yecheskel Bamuzin Lamanu. There's no reference in the Torah, right? We just did the parsha of Kohanim, right? So you go over yesterday's parsha in the Kohanim. Where in the Torah does it say that an Arel can't do the avoda? Okay, it's a true question. There is no place in the Torah where it says it. In other words, it's not in the Torah. So how do we know? We know from Yecheskel. So the pasuk says Kol Benecha Arel Leva Araba Solo Yavol Miktashi. So the Gemara quotes from Yecheskel Perak Mem Dalet. Yesterday we read from Yecheskel Perak Mem Dalet, just not this part of the Perak. So if you missed it yesterday, this pasuk, that's fine. Everyone did. So but uminalan demach le'avoda. Now let's go into step two. Meaning step one is they can't do the avoda. Step two is that if they do the avoda, it will be mechulal. So the avoda will be disqualified. The pasuk says dechsev be'aviyachem b'neinecha ar le'lev ar le'basalios b'mikdashi lechalol es beisi. Okay, so the pasuk in Yecheskel says it very clearly that it creates chilom. Tanu Rabban, the Gemara goes on, Benecha Yochel Benecha Mamish. I thought that we're talking about Mamish Benecha, meaning the Havamina, which is in of itself a fascinating Havamina. The Gemara is thinking, Benecha over here may mean a guy. So that's a Havamina. Tamalama Aralev. The Torah says, no, we're not talking about a guy, we're talking about an Aralev, meaning he's a Kohen, Benecha, meaning not that he's coming genetically from non-Jewish people. He's Jewish. It's just that Aralev, meaning that he's Jewish, but he went off the reservation. religiously. So he's a mummer. So im ke matam lamer ben nechash nisnachu ma'asav la'avinu la'aviv shebashamayim. So, and the benecha expression used in the pasuk just simply means that he's now become estranged to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The ein li ela arolev, arolbasar minayin. Okay, good. That takes me to step one. What about arolbasar? I'm sorry, not step one. Sorry. That's just describing arolev. What about arolbasar, tamalamar, varolbasar? Okay, the pasuk also speaks about arolbasar as well. Utsrichin. Now the Gemara says both these points are necessary. Deikas v'rachman arolbasar, mishum demais. Now when it comes to arolbasar, so that's mais. That's something which is disgusting. The, ava arolev de lo mais, but arolev is not mais. Now, in of itself, it's just an interesting way to formulate it, meaning he's not considered disgusting. Someone who's a mummer is not disgusting. So, yeah, in other words, the idea over here is that right now his hashkafas are obviously way off, but in other words, hashkafas, you know, that he could change. Something which is aro, which is physical, meaning it's a physical, it's a physical part of his body that shouldn't be there, so that's considered mas. So emalo. So I might have thought the havamina would have been that a kohen mummer could do the avoda. V'yashmina na'arolev mishum de'ein libo l'shamayim. Ava arabasa de'libo l'shamayim emalo tzricha. Now, on the other hand, we could argue in the other direction. When you have somebody who is an arolev, so he can't do the avoda, he's not with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's a mummer. So he doesn't believe in a Kadosh Baruch Hu, or whatever, however you want to define mummer in this context. But he's a mummer. So I can make the argument that he shouldn't do it, but an arolbasar, somebody who doesn't have a bismila, and if you think about Rashi, how well Rashi fits into this Gemara over here. I mean, in other words, libel shamayim, meaning, is he on board? He's more than on board, meaning, and the only reason why he doesn't have a bismila is because his brothers died. So in other words, libel shamayim, he's certainly with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So you might therefore make an argument that he should be okay. That's why the Navi has to say both an arolev and an arolbasar. Okay. That kind of takes us to the end of the Gemara's discussion in terms of arelus. And now let's begin Tuma. Tuma now is going to be a somewhat complex topic, admittedly, but we will try to navigate this as best as we can. If you take a look back at the Mishnah, so the Mishnah says just very flatly, right, without much elucidation, that a Kameh is one of those people that if he does the Avodah, if a Kohen in a state of Tuma does the Avodah is no good. That's all the Mishnah says. Right? Kol hazvachim shekiblu damam. So any of the Kabbalists where you have a Kohen doing the Avodah, the Mishnah talks about Kabbalah Sadam, but it's true by any of the Avodahs, and then the Mishnah gives an entire laundry list, and in that list you have Tameh. You have a Kohen who's Tameh. So the Mishnah Kipshuto is just simply telling us that a Kohen who's in the state of Tuma, and the Mishnah makes no differentiation between what kind of Tuma we're talking about. The Mishnah just simply says that the Avodah is going to be Psula. That's the Mishnah, that's the simplicity of the Mishnah. If I didn't know any better, if I didn't know anything else, I would have said, what kind of tumah would disqualify a Kohen from doing the Avodah? My answer from the Mishnah would be, any kind of tumah. There would be no distinction whatsoever in terms of one tumah over another tumah. Meaning the Mishnah just simply says categorically, a Kohen in a state of tumah cannot do the Avodah. Okay. That's, I guess you could say, in other words, let's put that as a backdrop to our entire discussion. The Mishnah doesn't differentiate. Then really, there should be no difference between one tumah and another tumah. Fine. Here's a couple of considerations which the Gemara knows, obviously, and the Gemara is now thinking about in the context of this discussion. One, there are times where tumah is allowed when doing the avodah, notably a carbon sebor. A carbon sebor, let's talk about the carbon pesach, because that is the basis for this particular halacha. A carbon pesach where the majority of the Jewish people are tameh. And specifically Tumas Meis, meaning the Torah specifies Tumas Meis. So if you have the majority of the people who are Tameh, and oh, parenthetically, by the way, it doesn't have to be the majority of the people, it could also be the majority of the Kohanim as well. Okay, but in either event, if you have the majority of the people who are Tameh, so we know that we now have an allowance that the Karban Pesach that year is going to be brought, B'Tumah. And this is a concept which the Gemara succinctly describes as Tumah Hotra B'Tzibur, that Tumah is allowed in a community setting. So we know that by a carbon sebor, tumah is hotra b'tzibur. Okay, and the carbon pesach, we already discussed this before, but I'll just simply mention it quickly. Carbon pesach is a carbon sebor? Yes. But you know, what's it called? But knowing full well that it doesn't behave like a regular carbon sebor. A regular carbon sebor is a carbon sebor that is paid by communal funds. It is, the money is taken out from the Trumas Halishka. It is brought by the Kohen on behalf of the entire Jewish people, Karban Pesach. Everybody pays for their own Karban Pesach. It's true, everyone's got to bring it, but everyone pays for their own Karban Pesach. It doesn't behave perfectly like a carbon seabor, but for our purposes right now, we're going to be calling it a carbon seabor. So one time that for sure tumah gets to be waived is when it's a carbon seabor, like the carbon pesach, and we have this concept of tumah hosher b'seabor. That's one thing to keep in mind. Another thing to keep in mind is that we know that there are some allowances when it comes to tumah. Now, this is the part where it's going to get murky and it's going to get a little bit unclear as we go through the sugya. But we have this idea. In other words, the idea is very clear. The application of the idea is a little bit less than clear. We have this idea that a tzitz is meratzah. Kohen Gadol wears various big day kahuna, right? We discussed it also earlier in this perek in terms of a mechusar begadim. So the big day kahuna, specifically now we're talking about the Kohen Gadol. So there are 8 begadim of the Kohen Gadol. Each one of them has a certain kawach, has a certain power. And we say regarding the tzitz, that's the head plate of the Kohen, the golden head plate of the Kohen that has the words Kodesh Lashem on it. So that also creates a ritzui, and specifically a ritzui regarding tumah. Meaning it creates certain allowances when it comes to tumah. That is clear. Here's what's not clear. What allowances does it create regarding tumah? So stay tuned. We're going to be discussing that over the course of the sugya as well. So when it comes to tumah and avodah, so generally speaking, again, the starting point is our Mishnah, which says that there's no allowance when it comes to tumah. A kohen is tamei, cannot do the avodah. The avodah is pasul. The avodah is mechulalas. That's the Mishnah. But on the other hand, we also know that there are allowances. One, tumah hosher b'tzibur. And two, this idea that the tzitz is meratzah. That the tzitz creates certain allowances when it comes to avodah done in a state of tumah. Okay? So that's what we have to navigate. And I'm just going to tell you in advance, navigation is going to be a little bit tricky. It's a hard sugya coming up, but we'll try our best. So, Tamei Pasul, Amar Zikne Darim. So, over here, the starting point of this whole discussion starts with the elders of the South. Okay, not the first time in the Gemara. We have a description of a particular group of Chachamim who are called Zikne Darim. Okay, I could guess, but it's just a guess that we're talking about Talmidim Rabbi Akiva, but the Gemara is treating them like Amorayim. So, Talmidim Rabbi Akiva are not exactly Amorayim. In other words, but we do know that Rabbi Akiva went down to the South to reboot, so to say, and start again. But okay, whoever they are, the Talmidei Chachamim, the Rashi over here gives a quick description of them. Anyway, let's go to the Gemara. So, Zikne Darim, the elders of the South, Lo Shanu Ela Tamei Sheretz. So, our Mishnah that says that a Kohen who is in the state of Tumah cannot do the Avodah, and the Avodah is Mechulalas, is only limited to Tumah Sheretz. Sheretz, of course, is any one of the 8 bugs identified in Parsha Shmini, where the Torah says that if anyone were to touch the corpse of these 8 Sheretzim, so the person's Tameh. Tumah Sheretz is the lightest form of Tumah. When I say lightest form, what do I mean by that? It means that the Sheretz itself is an Avatumah. You who touch it are Rishon L'Tumah, and in terms of how to be Matar yourself, you tov on the mikvah, you wait till Harav Shemesh, and that's it. Meaning, and from that point going forward, you totally tahor. Okay, so our Mishnah that's saying that a Kohen is tamei can't do the Avodah is talking specifically about Tumah Sheretz. However, when Aval Tumas Meis, mitoch shemeratza b'tzibur, meratza na mebiachid. But the Zikne Dora make the following argument. If the Kohen is tamei meis, and such a Kohen were to do the Avodah while being tamei meis, so, because it is meratza b'tzibur, meaning, let's go back to a point I made in the introduction. Because we know that Tumas Meis, there is an allowance when it comes to carbon seabor, notably the carbon Pesach. So at least we see that there is room for negotiation, room for heterim when it comes to seabor, carbon seabor. So the Zikne Darim are now going to make the argument that if the Kohen is tamei with Tumas Meis, he too can do the Avodah, and the Avodah is not Mechulalas. Now, even within the opinion of the Zikne Darim, right, here's what I firmly believe. I could be right. Here's what I firmly believe. In other words, if a Kohen is tamei with Tumas Meis, should he be doing the Avodah? And again, we're not talking about carbon seber right now. We're talking about a carbon yachid. Should he be doing the Avodah? If you ask the Zikne Darim, should the Kohen do the Avodah? Their answer, of course, is going to be no. Meaning, don't have somebody. Somebody's tamei can't go into the base of Mikdash. All right, I don't know. I hear the question. It's a fair question. I don't know. But in other words, I'm just highlighting right now, even within their interpretation of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah is not talking about every type of tumah, they're certainly not going to say that tumas meis, you know what? Go for it. In other words, perfect allowance to do so. No, of course not. What they mean by this is simply that if it's done by a kohen who's tamei meis, it's not mechulalas. The avoda is not going to be profaned. The avoda will go through. Meaning, let's just bring this to its logical conclusion. They handled an animal. They handled an animal that they shechted, and they did the avoda with the animal. Most likely, the animal now is tamei itself. Meaning they were holding the knife that went against the neck of the animal, and presumably the animal was dead as the knife was going through. Meaning, and even if somehow you can explain, and I'm sure you can, right? Someone smarter than me can do this. But if you can explain somehow how the tumah didn't communicate from the kohen shechting to the animal, but at a later point in time, right? You can easily make the argument that he came into contact with the animal, the animal's tummy. So in other words, the animal probably is not going to get eaten as well. But still, in other words, so even in their viewpoint that a tamei meis kohen could do the avoda, he don't really mean you can do the avoda, should do the avoda. It just simply means that in the event that the avoda was done by a tamei meis, the avoda is acceptable.
Are you assuming that the kohen knew that he was tamei before he walked into the tamei meis, or did he find out after he did the avoda that he was tamei?
We'll talk later in the sugya. We'll talk about where he finds out afterwards. Right now, we're assuming he knew. He knew.
So he actually
amazed it,
walked in as, and to the
Zavodah, and knew it was Tom. Yeah, Tumas Meis, yes, correct. That seems to be the simple pshat of the Gemara. And again, their point is that the Mishnah is only talking about Tumas Sheres, not Tumas Meis. Now the Gemara says, okay, so and we understand that the basis for their position is because since we know there is a heter for Tumas Meis as it relates to Tzibur, they say that look, if that's the case, that's also going to create some form of a heter when it comes to a yachid, an individual as well. Now, that basis of their position, the Gemara is going to challenge that momentarily, but let's just follow through with the Zikne Dorim. Ihachi tami sheretz nami leisi bekavacham. The Gemara says, okay, so if you're now using logical arguments in order to create the halacha, well, the Gemara says, well, I'll create the following halacha, using the following argument. And it seems to be a very sound argument. Metame meis ma meis. So Gemara says, look, let's make a really straightforward argument. If you're allowing a kohen tamei meis's avoda to be acceptable, so with a higher degree of tumah and a higher degree of tahara process, where you need the sprinkling of the ashes and the water of the paraduma, both on day 3 and day 7, meaning it's a 7-day tahara process. If that kohen who does the avoda, who's tamei with that kind of tumah, if his avoda is acceptable, so somebody who's tamei with just a lighter tumah sheretz, well, all he needs to do is just go to the mikvah and tonight he'll be tahor. So for sure his avoda should be acceptable. And now using this argument, the Gemara says, I don't understand. If tumas meis is acceptable, so tumah sheretz should also be acceptable as well. Answers the Gemara, kasavri zik nedarim, mechaprim kim mit chaprim. Ma mit chaprim tamei meis in tamei sheretz lo, af mechaprim tamei meis in tamei sheretz lo. So the Gemara says, as far as the Zikne Dorim is concerned, they're going to basically equate the Mechaper to the Mitkaper. Okay, just grammatically, who's who? Mitkaper are the ones who are receiving the Kapara, meaning the Jewish people. The Mechaper is the one who is facilitating the Kapara, and that, of course, is the Kohanim. And as far as the Zikne Dorim is concerned, so we're basically going to create a equivalency between the Mechaper and the Mitkaper. When it comes to the Mitkaper, the people who are receiving the Kapara, meaning the Jewish people, so when is there an allowance to be offered the Karban Pesach? That's only for Tumas Meis, not for Tumas Sheretz. Meaning if the majority of the Jewish people are Tumah with Tumas Sheretz, it does not get pushed off to Pesach. I'm sorry. Let me say that again. Let me say that better. If the majority of the Jewish people are tamei with tumah sheretz, it does not allow for tumah hoshabet zibor. So in other words, there is no dispensation for tumah sheretz as it relates to tumah hoshabet zibor. So to the mechaper, meaning the kohen, when he's tamei with tumah sheretz, he does not have the allowance to do the avoda. And by not having the allowance, meaning that if he does the avoda is going to be psula. The Gemara says, my kasavri. The Gemara now pushes along this line of thinking. The Gemara says, now, as far as the Zikne Dorim is concerned, what's their position? So the Gemara says, if they're of the position that you can achecht and sprinkle blood on behalf of a tamei sheretz. Now, let me explain this a lot better in hopefully just a couple of moments. Okay. When we look at the offering of the Karban Pesach on Yudal Nisan, so what is... from the perspective of an individual bringing his Karban Pesach. So, if he is, let's say, tamei, but Tamei for the 14th day of Nisan, but comes tonight, he'll be Tahar. Okay, and we can get to this point in a number of ways. Number one, he's Tamei Sheretz. So if he's Tamei with Tamei Sheretz, so what he'll do is he'll tov in the mikvah, and tonight he'll be fine, he'll be Tahar. So we can also come up with this case in terms of Tumas Meis. Tumas Meis, let's say Yom Shvi Shalom, the 7th day of the Tamei Meis, happens to coincide with the 14th day of Nisan. So that means that on the 7th day, he'll have sprinkling with the Paraduma, he'll tov in the mikvah, and tonight he'll be in a state of Tahara. So we can have a number of circumstances where a person can be Tamei on the 14th, but the night of the 15th, he'll be Tahor. Okay. Now, for such an individual, here really are two options. Option number one is that he'll bring the Karban Pesach today, and by tonight he'll be fine. Now I say he'll bring the Karban Pesach, meaning he's Tamei. So what he'll do is he can't go into the Beis HaMikdash, but that's fine. Meaning we're talking about Karbanos. Karbanos can be done via Shliach. He'll just simply send his Karban into the Beis HaMikdash. The Kohen will do the Avodah, and he won't come into contact with his Karban until tonight when he's going to eat it. That's one option. Another option is that you get pushed off. In other words, you get pushed off to Pesach Sheni. Meaning currently right now on the 14th day of Nisan, are you in a position to bring the Karban? No, you're not in the position to bring the Karban. So what you'll do is you'll simply get a dichu, you'll get a postponement to Pesach Sheni, and you'll bring the Karban Pesach Sheni. And so what is this really riding on? This is riding on the question of whether or not you're Shochev Azorik on Tamei Sheretz. So, and as we know, the Gemara Pesachim and the Gemara over here as well. So this is a debate amongst the Tanaim, whether or not such an individual gets a postponement to Pesach Sheni, yes or no. The Gemara says, now, as far as Zikne Darm is concerned, what is their position on this matter? If they take the position that you cannot sprinkle, shech or sprinkle, for somebody who's Tamei Sheretz, again, somebody's Tamei Sheretz, meaning on the 14th day of Nisan, so the Gemara says, so I don't understand. So for such an individual, if you say that by design they get a postponement to Pesach Sheni, that's as an individual. And here comes now the correlation. If an individual gets postponed to Pesach Sheni, as a community, what would happen? A community would override Pesach Rishon. I'll say it again. If an individual gets postponed to Pesach Sheni, a community is going to bring such a carbon on Pesach Rishon. The Gemara says it. If an individual gets pushed off to Pesach Sheni, so a community is going to bring on Pesach Rishon. So that means like this. Now, if we're talking about where, if Zikne Daron's position is that somebody who's Tamei Sheretz gets, as an individual, gets postponed to Pesach Sheni, that means that if the majority of the community were Tamei with Tamei Sheretz, what are they going to do? They're going to bring it on Pesach Rishon in a state of Tumah. Now, if that were the case, we have lost Zikne Daron's argument. Their entire argument was predicated on, well, since there's an allowance for Tumas Meis, so therefore, a Kohen who is Tamei Meis does the Avodah is Kasher. Over here, the same argument would apply. If there's an allowance for Tumas Sheretz as a Tzibor, so then a Kohen, while doing the Avodah in the state of Tumas Sheretz, so the Avodah is going to be acceptable. So, in other words, the Gemara is kind of almost working backwards. Because we know that can't be the conclusion, so the Gemara therefore concludes, Elakasavre, Shochtim Vizorkin al Tamei Sheretz. So the Gemara says that, must be the Zikne Dharma of the opinion that when it comes to Tamei Sheretz, if an individual is Tamei with Tamei Sheretz, they don't get a postponement to Pesach Sheni, they're going to bring their carbon on Pesach Rishon. How are they going to bring their carbon? Like I described a couple moments earlier. Meaning they'll send the carbon Pesach in, carbon Pesach will be shechted by Kohen, and tonight, meaning the assumption of course is, they tov in the mikvah, they have Har of Shemesh, and tonight they'll eat the carbon Pesach. Okay, so where do we stand right now in terms of Zikne Darim? Like, and now, after having gone through it, you could say it really succinctly. Zikne Darim, even though the Mishnah says that a Tamei Kohen cannot do the Avodah, and the Avodah is Mechulalas, Zikne Darim says that's only by Tumas Sheretz, not by Tumas Meis. Albeit this is counterintuitive, but this is their position. How do they arrive at that position? So it's actually, again, just distilling it, it's a really simple argument. Since we see there is an allowance by Tumas Meis, notably, Karban Hutcher B'tzibur by Karban Pesach, so therefore when it comes to a Kohen doing the Avodah as a Tamei Meis, such an allowance would ring true as well. Meaning that if he did the Avodah, he shouldn't, but if he did the Avodah is acceptable. Masha Enke, when it comes to Tumas Sheretz, there is no allowance for a Tumas Sheretz, there's no heter for a Tumas Sheretz, not for a Tzibur, as is the position of Zikne Darum. So therefore, when a Kohen who is in a state of Tumas Eretz is doing the Avodah is no good. That's the position of Zikne Darum. Yeah, you're right. In other words, they'll have the carbon offered. They'll have the carbon offered on their behalf, and tonight they'll eat it.
When would they go to Sheni? When they're not cleared by.
But this is only in a case. Right, it would only work in a case where the seventh day falls on the 14th. If the 14th is their sixth day, fifth day, or whatever, so then obviously they couldn't bring carbon Pesach. Yeah.
Why can't you say that the Tumat Sheretz is like analogous to Dvar Sheretz Matiri, meaning that? You know, the Dvar Sheretz Matir, like we don't say like it's Botel Bifol because it's Matir after like the Yom
right.
is over.
Right.
And Tumat Sheretz is going to be automatically over like in 24 hours anyway. So like,
less than 24 hours. It'll be over by, right. It'll be over by tonight.
Right.
Right. In other words, okay. In other words, but right now, currently. Dvar Sheretz Matir is an argument regarding Bittel.
Right.
Right. But this is not Bittel.
Same principle,
though. No, it's not the same. This is not Bittel. We're not talking about Bittel right now.
No, but the principle that elapses away, a certain amount that's shorter, it's going to be automatically.
Correct, but in other words, over here, it's a different principle over here. Over here, the overarching consideration is that currently he can't bring a carbon, but tonight he will be able to eat it. So, in other words, in his current state, he's not able to bring carbon. Tonight he will be able to eat it. So, in other words, how do we navigate that? Okay. I don't hear it. You can, we can argue after, but I definitely don't hear it. Yeah.
Why is
this
an argument? Zikne Durim
is just a collection of chachamim. So it's a.
Why are they called
Zikne Durim? I don't know. It's a fair question. I don't know. Okay.
It's
south, and they're in the south. Okay. Continuing now in the Gemara. So this is their position. Their position now has been articulated. Has been explained. The Gemara Amar Ula. So Ula now says that when Reish Lakish heard this, though, he went ballistic. Okay, I don't think my language is that strong. Rashi over here writes, Saklahem kol gadol, screaming out, meaning he just simply could not, he couldn't accept such a position that there should be a distinction for a Kohen in terms of what kind of tummy he has. If he's tummy sheretz, oh, then he can't do the avoda. But if he's tummy mace, well, he also shouldn't do the avoda. But he can do it. In other words, it's okay. The avoda is acceptable. And where in the world, I mean, we know the answer because we just went through it, but how do Zikne Darum arrive at that conclusion that such a distinction should be made? And Ula is telling us that when Reish Lakish heard this, so he went ballistic. So Takalu Reish Lakish LeDaramai, to those southerners, you thought those, the crazy southerners. The Chi Eze Koch Meruba, Koch Mechaper, Mekoch Metkaper. Now, in terms of which strength is stronger, the michaper, the one providing the kapara, or the mitkaper, the one who's receiving the kapara. Now, when we're talking about koach over here, we're talking about strength. We're not talking about it in the global sense, in the general sense, meaning who's greater. I don't know if there's a good answer to that, but in other words, we're talking in the context of suspension of tuma. In other words, in the world of suspension of tuma, like who's a stronger force? And the answer over here is aviyamer miskaprim. Clearly, the miskaper is a stronger force. Because, in other words, we know that when it comes to carbon Pesach, when the majority of the Jewish people are tamei meis, so then you bring the carbon Pesach in a state of tumah. So, uma b'makom shenitmu balam b'sheretz, mishachin carbon aseyem. So now, Reish Lakish says, let's think about where we are logically right now, in this entire picture, according to Zikne Darum. Meaning, the world of carbonas that are brought in tumah, according to Zikne Darum, it brings us to the most absurd point. Consider that somebody who's Tamei, who the owner of the carbon, that's the mitkaper. If the owner of the carbon is Tamei with Tumas Sheretz, Meshach and Carbon Aseim, and yet they're allowed to bring the carbon, meaning, again, because as we concluded earlier, Zikne Darum must be of the opinion that if you are Tamei Sheretz, you can bring your carbon, have the Kohen offer the carbon, and you'll, by tonight, you'll be able to eat it. So, Kohen Shenitma B'Sheretz Ein Amiratza. So, and still in such a case, If I now looked at the Kohen, who himself was Tamei, with Tumas Sheretz, can he do the Avodah? The answer, of course, is no. Meaning, that's now, even Zikne Darum agree, that a Kohen who's Tamei with Tumas Sheretz can't do the Avodah. So, if the Miskaper who's Tamei with Tumas Sheretz can send the carbon and have the carbon be offered on his behalf, and even in that case, a Kohen who has the same type of Tumah, meaning Tumas Sheretz, can't offer the carbon, So now, see where we're going? Makum shenitmu balim b'meis she'in v'shachim karbonoseihem kohen shenitba b'meis enudin she'in amaratza. So now if you have a individual who's tamei with tumas meis, individual, not a tzibur, an individual is tamei with tumas meis, so can he send his karbon? The answer, of course, is no. Meaning karbon pesach. No, in other words, he gets a deferment. Meaning this is a classic example of somebody gets now deferred to Pesach Sheni. He's not going to bring his karbon on day one. So for such an, not day one, meaning, sorry, the 14th day of Nisan. So such an individual cannot bring his karbon. So now if I took that tumah and I applied it now to the Kohen, so in such a situation, don't you see with full clarity that such a Kohen can't do the avoda? So again, I'll just quickly review Reish Lakish's point one more time. Meaning in the case of Sheretz where an individual, the miskaper, can bring his karbon, but when the Kohen has the same type of tumah, he can offer the karbon. In the case of tumas meis, where an individual can't even bring his karbon, so for sure if the Kohen has that kind of tumah, the Kohen for sure can't do that, can't offer that karbon. And so Reish Lakish says, I don't understand where we are in terms of the thought process of Zikni Darum. So the Gemara says, Kitzavri Zikni Darum, tamei meis nami mishalech karbon osav. So the Gemara says, okay, but in order to defend Zikni Darum, we're going to say something which at first glance is going to sound a little bit radical. It is a little bit radical, but and that is that Zikni Darum are of the opinion that a Tamei Meis can bring a Karban Pesach. Now the Gemara says, what? Tamei Meis can bring a Karban Pesach? Like, what are you talking about? So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Do you know there's an entire parsha in the Torah talking about postponement? Meaning that, and the Torah says that if a person's Tamei Meis, so you get a postponement to Pesach Sheni. How can you tell me that somebody who's Tamei Meis can bring his Karban Pesach and Pesach Rishon? In other words, what do you do with the whole parsha of Pesach Sheni? So the Gemara gives a one word answer. The mitzvah, the Gemara says, okay, but that's just talking about, you know, a priori. In other words, the best thing to do is be postponed to Pesach Sheni. If he brought it on Pesach Rishon, Yatza, he's fulfilled his obligation. So the Gemara says, Va'aksiv ish lefi achlo. The Gemara says, okay, but you know, an important part of the bringing of the Karban Pesach is Tita Karban Pesach. If this person is Tamei Meis and is not going to be cleared by tonight and still be Tamei Meis tonight, he can't eat the Karban Pesach. You're telling me such an individual can bring the Karban Pesach even though he's not going to eat it? And the Torah says, ish lefi achlo. The Gemara says, la mitzvah. So the Gemara says, really, it's just a mitzvah to eat the Karban Pesach. It's not essential. The Gemara quotes a braisa. B'michsas nefashos. The Torah says, michsas, michsas, a funny word. But the Torah, using the word michsas, it means somebody who is registered over the Karban Pesach. Malamit she'ena Pesach nishchat ela lemnuyav. The Karban Pesach, when shechted, has to be shechted over people who are registered. Registration, I know it sounds like a modern phenomenon, a modern term, but in other words, when it comes to Karban Pesach, you need to be registered over the Karban Pesach. Right, we have Gemaras and Pesach and back and forth about registrating, revoking your registration, right? At what point exactly can you revoke your registration? But in other words, the halach is you have to register. And shachtu shalolim nu yavyachol yehe ke'over al ha-mitzvah. Now let's say, I shach the Karban Pesach over people that are not registered over the Karban Pesach. Okay, it's not the end of the world, right? No, it is the end of the world. Or it's not the end of the world, but it's the end of the Karban. So tamalam or tachosu. So hakasav shina lav la'akiv. The Torah repeats in order to show us that it's a din le'ikuva, that you must bring the Karban Pesach and you must bring it over registered people. And so the Gemara is assuming now, if that's true regarding registered people, it would also be true regarding achila as well. People who are going to be eating the Karban Pesach, meaning you must bring it for people who are going to be able to eat it. And there's a hekesh between people who are eating the Karban Pesach and those people who are registered. And if you must shech the Karban Pesach for people who are registered, and failure to do so results in a disqualified Karban Pesach, the same thing is true regarding Achila as well. You shech the Karban Pesach for people who can eat it. If you're neshech the Karban Pesach for people who cannot eat it, the Karban Pesach is going to be disqualified. Where are we right now? We have seemingly, clearly made the point that eating the Karban Pesach is now essential. How, in other words, in order for Zikni Darm to defend their position, they have now painted themselves into a corner by having to say, yeah, I know that a Tamei Meis should go to Pesach Sheni, but if he brought a Pesach Rishon, so Yatzei Yedei Chavasa has fulfilled his obligation. The Gemara says, how can you even say that? How can you entertain that? Bringing the Karban Pesach to eat it, seemingly, is an essential component of the Karban Pesach. If you're bringing the Karban Pesach knowing that you can't eat it because you're Tamei Meis, so how can you say you fulfilled your obligation to Karban Pesach? That is essentially the Gemara's question. And again, in defense of Ziknei Darim, the Gemara says, we're now on the top of Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, 6 lines from the top of the Amud, Ziknei Darim Lo Makshe. So the Gemara says, well, Ziknei Darim, they don't make such a hekesh, and so therefore it's true. For Menuyav, for registration, that is an essential component. But in terms of achila, it's not an essential component. And it could be, again, this is the argument of Ziknei Darim, it could be that if you bring the Karban Pesach, even though you're not going to be able to eat it, you fulfilled your obligation. And so therefore, the Reish Lakish argument that runs counter to Ziknei Darim is no longer a knockout punch to the position of Ziknei Darim. Okay, the Gemara says, even if we're here, at this point in time, even if without a hekesh, you know what? Ziknei Darim's position is still pretty much indefensible. Because consider, says the Gemara, look, well, here's what we're going to do. We're just going to create the same argument Reish Lakish did, even accepting the Ziknei Darim allow a Tamei Meis to bring the Karban Pesach. Look, says the Gemara, when it comes to a person's Tamei Sheretz, can they bring the Karban Pesach? The answer, of course, is yes. They can bring the Karban Pesach. And not only can they should bring the Karban Pesach. Yet, that Tumah, if I took that Tumah and applied it to a Kohen doing the Avodah, can he do the Avodah? The answer is unequivocally no. Meaning that's our Mishnah. A Kohen whose tummy and Ziknei Darim, according to everybody, Tumah Sheretz, he can't do the Avodah. Malkum Shenidmu Balim Bemeis. So now if I have somebody who is Tamei Meis, and let's even say that Bidyevit, if he brought his carbon, it's fine. But Lichatchila, right, you ask the local posek in the Beis HaMikdash, should I bring my carbon today? In other words, I'm Tamei Meis. He'll tell you, of course not. Meaning, postpone it to Pesach Sheni. In other words, that's why there's a Pesach Sheni, for you. In other words, so Lichatchila, he should not be bringing his Pesach Rishon, his Karban Pesach, on Pesach Rishon. So, Kohen, Shenitma B'meis, Eino Din She'eno Meratza? So now the Kohen is Tamei Meis. So for sure, the Avodah is not going to be Merutza. So in other words, even if I accept this point, that a Tamei Meis can bring the Karban on Pesach Rishon, but Lichatchila, he should be postponed to Pesach Sheni. He is postponed to Pesach Sheni Lichatchila. And so therefore, if a Tamei Sheretz, who Lichatchila, from the Miskaper standpoint, can bring it, from the Michaper standpoint, cannot bring it, and in fact, the Avodah is Psula. So from a Tamei standpoint, where Lichatchila, he can't bring it from the Miskaper standpoint, so from the Michaper standpoint, the Kohen does the Avodah is going to be Psula. So basically what we've done is, even as Ziknei Darim have hurdled that little barrier of, how can you compare Tumas Sheretz to Tumas Meis? And their response is, well, you still could, b'di'evit, bring your Karban Pesach on Pesach Rishon instead of Tumas Meis. Still, Reish Lakish's point still seems to be an extraordinarily solid point against the position of Ziknei Darim, and so therefore, at least from Reish Lakish's standpoint, he simply does not understand how Ziknei Darim can make this argument and differentiation between a Kohen who's Tamei Tamei Sheretz versus a Kohen who's Tamei Tamei Meis. Okay, Meisvei. The Gemara now is going to challenge based on the following brayso: Mimisha Amru Nazir Vosei Pesach Chatzitz Meratza Al Tumas Dam VeEin Chatzitz Meratza Tumas Agof. Okay. As I mentioned in the introduction of this entire sugya, there is a tzitz. Now, we have, up until now, made all of our arguments and made all the basis of Ziknei Darim's position and that of Reish Lakish's position without having to involve the tzitz, which, quite frankly, I was kind of happy with. Because, as you're going to see now, as we get to the tzitz, it gets now a little bit murky. In other words, here's what we know. We know that the tzitz creates allowances when it comes to Tumah and the Avodah. That we know. After that point in time now, what allowances it creates, in other words, when I say allowances, meaning, again, nothing should be done in a state of Tumah in the base of Mikdash. But if done, then certain boxes can be checked. In terms of, you know, was the carbon brought? So the tzitz allows certain boxes to be checked. Which boxes get to be checked? Again, that's now where it gets a little bit tricky. The Braisa, we start off with the Braisa that says that when it comes to a Nazir, when it comes to Karban Pesach, the tzitz creates Ritzui al Tumas Dam. If the blood of the Karban becomes Tamei, and even though Tamei blood should not be offered on the Mizbeach, but if the blood becomes Tamei, the tzitz creates Ritzui, and so therefore the box gets to be checked, meaning good. Dam is considered sprinkled, the person now has brought his Karban Pesach. However, in a tzitz meratz al Tumas Aguf, but when it comes to Tumas Aguf, so then even the tzitz cannot be meratzah. Now, bimai. What are we talking about when we're talking about tumas aguf? Elam of tumas sheretz. So the Gemara says, now are we talking about where the person who is bringing the Karban Pesach is in the state of tumas sheretz? The Gemara says, what do you mean? Amar shochem zarkna tumas sheretz. We already made it very clear that according to Zikne Darum, they're clearly of the position that a person who is in a state of tumas sheretz can lechatchila bring their Karban Pesach because tonight, today they'll tov in the mikvah, tonight they'll have experienced Terev Shemesh, and therefore they're allowed to eat the Karban Pesach. So we don't need the tzitz for tumas sheretz. And ela tumas meis. So it must be now that we're not talking about tumas sheretz, we're rather talking about tumas meis, v'ketani ein tzitz meratzah. So the Gemara says, and the Braisa says that the tzitz does not create ritzui. Ama nitmu balim b'meis, ein meshachin karban aseihem. And so what seemingly now what we have just all learned together is that if a person is Tamei Meis, he cannot bring his Karban Pesach. Not Lechatchila, which everyone agrees, and not even B'di'evid. Meaning because the Braisa says that the Tzitz is not going to push this through. The Tzitz will not create an allowance for Tumas Meis. And so now, the entire defense for Zikne Darm was, well, B'di'evid, you could bring your Karban Pesach as a Tamei Meis. This Braisa seemingly is saying, you cannot. That's what the Braisa seems to say. So the Gemara is deflection over here in defense of the Zikne Dharma's law. Idit mubalim b'meis achanami. So the Gemara says no. If the owner of the Karban was Tamei Meis, so then it could be brought. Again, it shouldn't, but it could be brought. Hachanami hachabam ha'iskin and kigon shenit makoin b'sheretz. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you misunderstood, we all misunderstood what the Braisa meant when the Braisa was talking about Tumas Aguf. Tumas Aguf was not going on the owner of the Karban. Tumas Aguf was going on the Kohen doing the Avoda. And on that, the Braisa was telling us that when it comes to the Kohen being Tumas with Tumas Sheretz, for that, no allowances. Meaning the Avoda's Psula, I that sits, no, sits is not going to allow this as well. So Yahachim HaSefer, so the Gemara says, okay. In other words, if all we had was that part of the Braisa, we could explain the Braisa this way. This would be a reasonable description, a reasonable explanation of the Braisa, that the Braisa is not going on the owner of the Karban, but rather the Braisa is going on the Kohen himself. And when the Braisa is saying that, for Dam, Ritzui, you get to check the box. For Tumas Aguf, no Ritzui, that's going on the Kohen. And specifically we're talking about Tumas Sheretz. Fine. The Gemara says, but let's go on to the next part of the Braisa. Nitma Tumas Atahom, Hatzitz Meratzah. So the Gemara says, now when it comes to Tumas HaTahom, the tzitz is Meratzah. Now, Tumas HaTahom, it sounds like a really, really fancy terminology. In other words, Tumah of the deep, right? Literally translated. What is that in reference to? So, that's in reference to, well, actually, kind of depends what we're talking about, but let's just read a little bit more in the Gemara, and then I'll back up and I'll explain a little bit better. So, Ha Tini Rabbi Chia Lo Amr Tumas HaTahom El Meis Bavad. So, and even as we say Tumas HaTahom, we're only talking about Tumas Meis, and we're not talking about any other kind of Tumah. Okay, so let's take a moment now to explain what is Tumas HaTahom. So, Tumas HaTahom is a Tumah where it was not anticipated. Not anticipated, meaning that not only did the person himself, who may have become contact with the Tumah, but nobody else anticipated such Tumah to have been there. Let's say there was some sort of avalanche. Somebody was buried underneath. Nobody knew about it. The person walked over the body. So in other words, such a person is Tamei, but he didn't know. Nobody else knew. He went and he offered the Karban Pesach. So for that, tzitz is meratzah. The tzitz is going to push that tumah through. Meaning, if at a later point in time, and this is what I told you earlier this morning, meaning what if he discovers afterwards? The Tumas HaTahom is an example. Later, at a later point in time, he discovered, oh no, I walked over this particular avalanche, there was a person buried underneath, I didn't know about it, nobody else knew about it. So for that, the tzitz creates ritzui. The tzitz is allowed to be meratzer for such a tuma. Okay. So lo amr tuma satoma lames bavad. Lames lamote mai, lav lamote tuma satahom, de sheretz. So the Gemara says, now presumably what we're coming to exclude over here is tuma satahom of sheretz. Where it is not going to be allowed. Now it's true, by the way, that you can make a kavachomer, a really simple kavachomer. If tumas tahom is going to be an allowance for tumas meis, so shouldn't tumas tahom be an allowance also for tumas sheretz as well? Meaning you came into contact with the sheretz unknowingly, and again, unknowingly over here, meaning not only did you not know that there was a sheretz there, nobody knew that there was a sheretz there, you only discovered it after the fact. So why don't we say that the tzitz should be meratzah for tumas tahom of sheretz, as it is matir, as it provides an allowance for tumas tahom of meis? So Rashi over here points out, yes, it would be a good argument, but in other words, you're making a kavachomer from a halacha l'moshe misinai. This entire idea that the tzitz creates ritzui is only a halacha, not only. Okay, be careful about how I say this. But it is a halacha l'moshe misinai, and you cannot develop a halacha, another halacha, using a kavachomer from a halacha l'moshe misinai. Why should that be? That's in of itself a reasonable question, but for our purposes right now, we just need to know the facts. The facts are, Tumas Atahom only is for Tumas Meis, not for Tumas Sheretz. So the Gemara says, so it doesn't apply for Tumas Sheretz. So the Gemara says, so now, if Tumas Atahom doesn't apply to Tumas Sheretz, so now, this would seemingly, go against the pshat that we offered previously in the Braisa. So the Gemara says, lo lamute Tumas Atahom deziva. The Gemara says, no, we're not talking to the exclusion of Tumas Sheretz, but rather we're talking about Tumas Atahom of Ziva. Tumas Tahom of Ziva. Now, this is a little bit trickier to explain. Meaning, Tumas Tahom of Mace, meaning somebody was buried there, no one knew about it. Tumas Tahom of Sheretz, the Sheretz was there, no one knew about it. Tumas Tahom of Ziva, I'm admitting, it's a little bit of a struggle in terms of how to explain it. If you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi constructs a scenario, how you can even have such a case of Tumas Tahom of Ziva. Take a look towards the bottom of the Amud. Rashi writes, I'm reading the Rashi inside. Kigon Rab and Ashmashos, Safik Kulam in a Yom, O Kulam in a Laila, V'ein Kan Ela Re'ia Achas. So over here, the man had a discharge. The discharge was during the twilight between day and night, unclear for this individual whether it was all during the day, whether it was all during the night, and or maybe, in other words, it occurred also during the Benesh Mashos as well, or only during the Benesh Mashos. And Rashi continues, Ve'ein kan ela ri'a achas, saf v'chesim in ayom v'chesim in alayla, v'havalei kishtei ri'ios dezav metame b'yamim, uve ri'ios. Now when it comes to a zav, and his tumma is going to be defined either by number of discharges or number of days he's discharging. V'achtum asatom hu dememai mishum dechamir diyotzi alav migufo. So over here, it is an unknown, a different unknown than the Tumas Meis and the Tumas Sheretz. Over here it is an unknown, but the unknown over here is just simply, we don't know when he had the discharge. Okay, and why, in other words, and now what we're saying is that for Tumas Tahom of Meis, Tzitz is Meratzah. Tumas Tahom of Sheretz, Tzitz is Meratzah. Tumas Tahom of Ziva, the Tzitz is not Meratzah. Why is Ziva the oddball out? Why is that? Why is it Tzitz not going to create Ritzui for Tumas Tahom of Ziva? So Rashi over here explains really quickly. Mishum dechamir diyosel amigufo. It's an internally developed tuma. Tuma is coming from within. So therefore, again, just to the best of our understanding, so therefore we're going to be more chamer when it comes to Tumas Tahom of Ziva. Okay, so that was really, I know, all this is really a mouthful. I'm fully aware of the fact of how complex this particular sugya is. But where we stand right now is that at least we're able to defend the position of the Ziknei Darom. This Braisa we just quoted, that seemingly is saying that for Tumas Aguf, it does not, there is no allowance for Tumas Aguf. And presumably we're talking about Tumas Sheretz. The Gemara says, no, not necessarily. We're not talking about Tumas Sheretz. We're talking only about Tumas Ziva. So the Gemara says, Ve'ela, Hai Dabai Rami Barchama Kona Maratzeh, Bekarbonoseim, Huchulot Tumas Atahom, Olo Huchulot Tumas Atahom. So the Gemara says, Rami Barchama's question was, a Kohen doing the Karbanos, is Tumas Atahom going to be a Matir? Is Tumas Atahom not going to be a Matir? Based on the way that Ziknei Darom explained the Braisa, that it's not going on the owner of the carbon, but rather it's going on the Kohen. So based on Ziknei Darom's interpretation of the Braisa, So Rami Bar Chama's question answered, right? It should be answered at least. So the Gemara's answer, the Gemara says over here, Hacha, so I'm sorry, Huchu Batumaton Tisha, the Tumasatam Huchala, Da'a Hacha Bekoin Kaimina. Because didn't we, according to Zikne Darim, explain this Baisa, going not on the individual, but rather on the Kohen? So the Gemara says, Rami Bar Chama Vade Pligi. The Gemara says, you're right. Meaning when Rami Bar Chama looked at this Baisa, he didn't look at the Baisa the same way that the Zikne Darim looked at this Baisa. Meaning he assumed that the Braisa was talking not about the Kohen, but was talking about the individual, meaning the owner of the carbon. And so therefore, he now was back to asking the question, is the Tumah Tahom Heter going to be an allowance for the Kohen? I, the Braisa, he didn't understand the Braisa the same way Zikne Darim understood the Braisa. Okay, we're going to stop over here. I'm just going to quickly recap so that we have at least some bearing in terms of where we are right now. And tomorrow we'll finish up the sugya. Admittedly, by the way, this is one of the more difficult sugyas in the perek. So, in other words, it's like a slight comfort. Where we stand right now in terms of today's daf, we went over the sugya of Arel and Arel being puzzled to do the avoda. Kohen Arel cannot do the avoda. We learned that based on Pesukim and Yecheskel. In terms of tumah, so the Mishnah says that if a kohen is in a state of tumah, if he does the avoda is psula. Where we stand right now is that Zikne Darim is making the following argument, and that is that the Mishnah's disqualification of a Kohen Tamei is only to a Kohen who's Tamei with Tumas Sheretz. If, however, the Kohen is Tamei with Tumas Meis, such an Avoda is not Psula. Lichat Kila, obviously, the Kohen should not be doing the Avoda, but B'diavid, if the Kohen does it while he's in the state of Tumas Meis, so the Avoda is Kshera. That's the opinion of Zikne Darim. They arrive at that conclusion using an argument of, well, if Tumas Hutra B'tzibor regarding Karm Pesach, and specifically Tumas Meis, so therefore an allowance is made for the Kohen who does the Avoda. In other words, if he's in the state of Tumas Meis, so therefore the Avoda is allowed. When Reish Lakish Ula reports this to us, but when Reish Lakish hears this position of the Zikne Darim, so he goes ballistic, it can't be. It can't possibly be that we know that when it comes to the allowances for Tumah in the Beis HaMikdash, the Miskaper certainly is going to be stronger than the Mechaper. We know regarding the Miskaper that when a person is Tamei Sheretz, you'll bring the Karban Pesach for such an individual, and yet a Kohen whose Tamei cannot bring the Karban Pesach, cannot do any Avoda. And we know at least, I'm going to say the argument in its finished version, at least Lichatchila, everyone's in agreement that you cannot bring the Karban Pesach in the state of Tumas Meis. And if there's no lechatchil allowance to bring the Karban Pesach in the state of Tumas Meis, so for sure a Kohen who is afflicted with Tumas Meis for sure cannot do the Avoda. And so Reish Lakish simply dismisses the argument of the Zikne Darim. And as far as a support for the position of Zikne Darim or an attack against it, the Gemara quoted a Braisa regarding what the tzitz can create a Ritzui for, what can affect a Ritzui for. The Braisa says very clearly that tzitz is not going to work for Tumas Aguf. Who is experiencing the Tumas Aguf? So that was a debate between the Zikne Darim and Reish Lakish. Is the Tumas Aguf going on the owner of the carbon, or is the Tumas Aguf going on the Kohen? And that, we said, is a debate between the Amoraim in terms of how to understand that Braisa. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up on the bottom of Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph.